Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll read the verses 35 to 41. And if you do not have a Bible with you this morning, it is printed on the back of your bulletin, and you can follow along with us there. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Let us hear the public reading of God's holy word. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was at the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." That's the reading of God's holy word. In the Gospel of Mark, we have just finished the section on parables in chapter 4. And you remember that the parables reveal to us who Jesus is and something about the nature of the kingdom that Jesus brings. And you remember that at the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus went out onto a boat on the sea. And you remember what we learned about the sea and the theme of the sea in the Bible. At the beginning of creation, God created the heavens, the earth, and the sea. And the sea was formless and void, and darkness covered over the face of the deep. And so the sea was representing chaos and death. And out of the sea, God created the land on the third day. And the people could live on the land. The people could not live in the sea, but they could live on the land that God had created. And so God created the land and a garden that they could live. And so the sea, throughout the Bible, to the people, they were afraid. And the sea, to people throughout the Bible, represents death, destruction, and chaos. And the land represents order and life and promise. And you have seen this as the Israelites came to the Red Sea. When they came to the Red Sea, the Israelites were afraid because the sea was in front of them. And so the Israelites went through on dry ground, and then the Egyptians tried to follow, and the sea swallowed them up. The sea represented the destruction. And you can also see this in Jonah. When Jonah was on the ship and the sea was shaking and the ship was shaking and they threw Jonah into the sea, into the deep, and Jonah was, and the sea stopped its storm. And so now Jesus is out on this boat, and the boat is an extension of the land. He has got on the boat, and the boat is extending out to the land, and the sea, representing the devil, is all around him, and Jesus is out on the boat, and while he's on the boat, he teaches a parable of something that happens on the land. Jesus has come and he's sowing his seed, and he tells the parable of the growing seed, which is seed that is growing on the land in which people are living, and Jesus has come as a sower, and Jesus is preaching his word and he's sowing his seed, and as he's sowing his seed, the word lands on four kinds of hearts. You remember, there's the seed that lands on the path. And the path is hard, and so the devil comes and he takes the seed away that has landed on the hard heart. And some of the seed lands on the rocky soil, and when troubles and persecutions come, the soil is only shallow, and the seed and the plant springs up and it dies. And some of the seed lands on the rocky soil. And when the rocky soil, or some of the seed lands among the weeds. And when it lands among the weeds, the worries and the wealth and the desires of this life and other things come, and they choke out the plant, and the plant dies. And finally, we read about the seed that falls on the good soil, the seed that grows to 30, 60, or even 100 times to what was sown. And so the disciples, who have left everything to follow Jesus, we learn from the parable of the sower, have been given something special. They have been given, according to verse 11, the secret of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is talking to them privately, telling him the meaning of these parables. And so you have this picture of those on the outside and those on the inside. On the outside, there are people hearing these parables and they see but never perceive. On the outside, there are people hearing these parables and they hear but they don't understand. But on the inside, on the inner circle where the disciples are coming and they're talking to Jesus, they have been given the secret of the kingdom of heaven. But even after this parable, the disciples still do not understand. So they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we don't understand this parable. And Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any parable? And so he retells the parable of the sower so that they can better understand. And after he retells the parable so they can understand it better, he tells the parable of the lamp on the stand. And the lamp on the stand reveals that the kingdom is not hidden, but the kingdom is supposed to shine. The kingdom shines in darkness. And then he told the parable of the growing seed. And the parable of the growing seed, here's a seed that is talking about this, the word that Jesus plants, and the kingdom grows and it becomes stronger, all focusing towards the harvest. And finally, he told the parable of the mustard seed. And in the parable of the mustard seed, we read about the growth of the kingdom from this tiny, insignificant mustard seed to this mighty shrub which was bigger than all the other garden plants. And this tiny seed grew up, and the birds of the air and the people of the earth, representing the people of the earth, found shade. They recognized the mustard tree as the kingdom of heaven, and they found shade in protection under the branches of the mustard seed. We left our parable scene in verses 33 and 34 with Jesus speaking to them privately as much as they could understand. And verse 34 tells us that he did not say anything to the crowd without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. And so Jesus has carefully explained to his disciples, those people who have been given the secret of the kingdom of heaven, he's explained to them the parables of that he has taught and has tried to teach them what they mean. And so now in verse 35, the text tells us specifically that that same day when evening came, that same day when the disciples have heard all of these parables and they've come to Jesus by faith and they've wanted to know more about these parables, and Jesus has explained to them all about these parables and has given them all this private instruction, this same day after they heard these parables, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now all the time, in the Gospel of Mark, so far that we've been reading, Jesus has been on the west side of the sea. Now, here's the Sea of Galilee up here, and now we have the Jordan River, and then the Dead Sea down here. And this is the west side, and here has been Jesus on this side of the sea all of the time so far. But now Jesus is saying, let us go over to the other side. He wants to cross the sea, and he wants to go east. He wants to go on the eastern side of the sea. And you have to understand what's going on here. You see, on the west side, these people have the Old Testament. These people know that someday there's going to be a Savior that's going to come. They know that someday God is going to send a Messiah who will rescue his people. But these people on the east side, they don't know that. They don't have the Old Testament. And so these people aren't looking for a Savior. These people are Gentiles. These people do not know about God. And so Jesus is crossing the lake. He's going to Gentile territory. And the Sea of Galilee in that day often formed a border between the Jews on one side and the Gentiles on the other side. And they didn't try to go over to the Gentile side because Gentiles were unclean. And so now Jesus is crossing this sea. And you have to understand how Satan and the demons are looking at this. We know from the book of John that Jesus is the truth and the life, and that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And we also know from 1 John that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. And so these people on the west side, they have had Jesus there, and so they have the possibility of having life, of going to heaven. But these people on the east side, they don't have life. They don't have the truth and the life, the only way to the Father. And so Jesus is getting in this boat, and Satan is looking, and he sees the truth and the life crossing the lake. And he doesn't want the truth and the life to cross the lake, because if they have the Son, then those people on this side of the lake have life. And so we see the goal of the parable of the growing seed taking place. The kingdom of heaven is going to grow. Jesus is entering new territory. He's going to preach over on this side of the lake. He's preaching it to the Gentiles. The kingdom is going to grow. And so in verse 36, look what else it tells us. It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. Now notice it says that he's leaving the crowd behind. The disciples have been hearing these parables all day long explained to them. And they have been in the crowd on the land, and Jesus has been in the boat, and he's been teaching them. He's been teaching them like he's been teaching all the other people. And now the disciples are getting in the boat with Jesus, and they're leaving the crowd behind. And look how carefully it's worded. They took him along just as he was in the boat. Jesus was in the boat, and now they've gotten in the boat with him. And there were also some other boats with him that were joining him, but clearly the focus on this specific passage is on the disciples. The disciples have heard Jesus' parables. Jesus has been teaching them all day long, and now he's going to teach them something else. Just the disciples, just the inner circle, just the people who have come to Jesus and want to know more. And so they get in the boat, and suddenly a furious squall came up. Now the Sea of Galilee is known and is still known for serious storms to come upon them unexpectedly. In fact, I had a friend who a couple years ago took a tour of the land of Israel and the land where Jesus walked, and he was on the Sea of Galilee, and sure enough, a storm, unexpected storm, suddenly came up. And when he finished his journey, the pilot or the captain of the ship told him afterwards that that was the worst one he had ever been in. And so these storms are frequent. These storms are common, and usually these storms happen towards during the day. And so the fishermen many times will go out during the evening because there's less chance of storm. And so here it is, and they're thinking, well, this is a less chance of storm. This is a good time for us to go. But suddenly, a furious squall comes up. And the waves are breaking over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. This boat is being pummeled by the waves. This boat is rocking back and forth. And as most translations will say, it is nearly full. It is filling with water from this furious squall which has come up. And so these fishermen who have fished the Sea of Galilee all their lives, who some of them whose fathers were fishermen and they were hoping someday to perhaps inherit the fishing business from their fathers, who spent day after day from the time they were little boys fishing out on this lake, suddenly a squall has come up. And no doubt they have heard all kinds of stories of other fishermen who've been on the lake and who have been caught into a squall and who lost their lives from the seriousness of the storm. And so these disciples are caught in this storm and they're trying to bail out the water as much as they possibly can to save themselves. And what is Jesus doing? It says Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Now, it would seem from them looking at Jesus sleeping that there are two ways that they could look at this. One, they could see it as Jesus having full confidence in God's care. He's relaxed. He's sleeping. He knows God will take care of him, and they should have the same kind of reaction. But that isn't the way they go. The other way they could look at it is that they could see it as a sign that Jesus doesn't care about them, and Jesus doesn't care if they die, and Jesus doesn't care if he dies. And so which way did they go? The disciples woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" All the other translations that I have read say that don't you care if we are perishing? And it's used in the present tense. Don't you care that right now we are perishing? Everything and all of their experience of fishing the Sea of Galilee, of being out there, all of their lives fishing, some of them growing up fishing, they have been in storms before, they have heard of people being in storms before, no doubt they've come out of these storms, but everything in all of their experience has led them to conclude in this storm that they are perishing. And so what happens? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. What happened? Verses 40 and 41 give us a commentary on what happened. In fact, verse 41 even goes a step further and explains verse 40. But let us read what happened. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Haven't you heard all of the things I have been teaching you on this same day? What about the parable of the sower? Some of the seed springs up quickly and it dies because it has no root. Some of the seed is choked out by the worries of this life and it dies and it never produces a harvest. Some of the seed is planted on a good soil and it grows. Where are you? What about the parable of the growing seed? That even when the sower sleeps, he knows that the kingdom is going to continue to grow and to become stronger. Where is the confidence in God's sovereign promises and activities? Don't you see that I am the sower? I told you that. And the kingdom is growing. Where's your confidence? What about the parable of the mustard seed? What about finding rest in the kingdom of God, of recognizing that the plant in the kingdom of heaven is larger than all the other things of the earth, all the other shrubs, and that you can find rest in the shade? Where is your faith? The reason that they do not understand the parable of the seed, of the sower, of the growing seed, and of the mustard seed. The answer is given in verse 41. They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They still do not understand, after all of these parables and after all of this teaching, who Jesus is. Turn with me a minute to Psalm, the book of Psalms 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and we'll read the verses 23 to 30. Psalm 107, the verses 23 to 30. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. You see that? This psalm writes about God being in control of the storm and God silencing the storm and about reaching their desired destination, their desired haven. And this is what Jesus has done. And so even though the kingdom of heaven is still a mystery to them, and even though that they have still been explained by Jesus privately who he is and what he has come to do, they still don't understand. The disciples have been given knowledge, but not only do you have knowledge, but you also have to have trust. And trust in the knowledge of Jesus and in the kingdom of heaven grows through experience. You can know all kinds of things about Jesus. You can know all kinds of things about the kingdom of heaven and about God's sovereignty in your life and all of these things. And you can give up, as the disciples did, their life and their earthly possessions for Jesus and start to follow him, but then the storm hits. There's something in your life that you don't understand why it is happening, and like the disciples, you want to give up all hope. You see, people in our day are almost exactly like the disciples. They have enough faith to believe and to follow Jesus. But oftentimes, they aren't prepared for the unpredictable consequences that accompany following Jesus. They like to follow Jesus, but then something happens. They begin to struggle with a sin in their life. Or they begin to suffer the loss of, say, a spouse or the loss of a child. And they lose all confidence in Jesus to help them. They try with their own strength, as the disciples did, to save themselves from their problems. And how many people haven't I heard who shook their fist at God and said, God, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care that all these things are happening? But the root of the problem of people who are going through those kinds of things is that they do not really know who Jesus is. They are asking, who is this? You see, the battle that is going on in our passage is more than just Jesus and the disciples. Remember what was said about the sea in the Bible that represents death and destruction. And we saw a couple weeks ago from the book of Revelation that there is no sea in heaven. And if we were to look at early Christian art, which is written in Rome, which has been made and is on display for people to see, you will see that the early Christians pictured the church as being in a boat which was crossing the sea. And so these are the disciples. These are the apostles who were appointed in chapter 3 by Jesus to be with Jesus and to preach the gospel to others. And so the disciples and the apostles at this time, they are the church. They have been given the secret of the kingdom of heaven. And so here is the church with Jesus in this boat crossing the sea. And they have left the protection of the land which is around them, and they are in the devil's territory, and a furious squall has come up, and the boat is nearly full. And the disciples are crying to Jesus, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? What right do they have to say to Jesus that they are perishing and that he doesn't care? What right do they have to accuse him of not caring about them and about where they are going? What right do they have to call out to Jesus, who dies for them, that he doesn't care? And so look what he does when his people and when his church are perishing. He got up. The Greek word for got up is agero. This is the same word that is used when Peter's mother-in-law comes to Jesus and Jesus takes her hand and he lifts her up. This is the same word that is used for the paralytic when Jesus tells him after he is healed to arise. This is the same word that is used for the man with the withered hand when he's standing among the assembly and Jesus calls him to arise. And this is the same word used in Mark chapter 16, the last chapter in the book. After Jesus has been in the grave, the people come to him and a man there tells them, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, but he is not here. He has arose." Do you see the picture of our text? The church is in this boat, and Jesus is in the boat with this church. And the church is ready to die. The church is being swamped by the sea. The devil is filling up the boat of the sea, and the church cries out to him, "Don't you care?" And he arose. And now look what else he does. He rebukes the wind and he says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And if you would turn to chapter 1, verse 25, look what happens. In chapter 1, verse 25, Jesus has entered the land and he's preaching in a synagogue and the demons come to him and they say, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One, Son of God." And Jesus rebukes them and he tells them to be quiet. These are the same words that are used in the passage of the calming of the storm. Jesus arose, he rebukes the devil, he rebukes and he quiets him. And the wind dies down and it's completely calm. Jesus arose. He rescued his church. The disciples don't understand who he is. And when Jesus arose, when he arose amongst the storm, when he arose out of the grave, out of the hands of death, when he went down into death and suffered what could have been the punishment for these disciples in this boat, and he came out and he arose, he did that for you. When Jesus arose, you arose. But how is your faith? How is your faith when the storm in your life hits? How is your faith when you're struggling and fighting with that sin? How is your faith when something happens to you in your life that you don't understand why it is happening and when you want to scream out to God and say, "God, don't you care?" Of course he cares. He went down into the grave and he came out of the grave. And you who belong to Jesus are with him. He is seated in the heavenly realms and you are already seated in the heavenly realms with him. You see, God looks at things from a bigger perspective. God looks at things eschatologically. He looks in the future. He sees the bigger picture. We can only see things that are happening here on this earth. But even though the disciples were failing, even though they tried to rescue themselves by their own power and whatever they tried to do, they turned to the right person, didn't they? They turned to Jesus. And they woke him and they asked for his help. And when they did, even with what little faith they had, even though it was so small, even though they didn't fully understand the parables that Jesus taught, even though they didn't fully believe in his sovereignty and what he was going to do in this situation, he rescued them. And so where are you this morning? Is Jesus looking at you and saying, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Are you walking around saying, who is this? Can he really rescue me? Do I trust in God's sovereignty and what he is doing in my life? You have no worry. The battle has already been won. Those who are with Jesus, no matter what happens to them in this life, doesn't matter. Because in the future life, in the future world, we rest with him eternally. Amen. Father in heaven, as we look at our lives and as we think about the things that happen to us, so many times we wonder if we are trusting you and if we really know you. And Lord, here were men, the disciples, the foundation of the church, who had been taught about you and your kingdom, about its coming, about what it means to have faith. But yet, Father, when something happened in their life that they didn't understand, they were tested. As soon as they came to that faith, here came this test. And you taught them. The Lord Jesus Christ taught them about the nature of the kingdom and about the battle that he has won. And Lord, we too, many times do not think of things in the bigger picture. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we do not have the kind of faith that we need. And we pray that you will help us. You will help us to understand that whatever happens to us or whatever happens to the people we love, if they belong to you, they are in your protection. They are resting under the shade of the mustard seed. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to believe in you. Help us not to complain about things that happen to us and to even ask if you don't care, because we know you care. Because you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, and you have rescued us with him in heaven. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.